Dez Bryant was released on Friday by the Cowboys, if you missed it. So now he's out there on the open market. For more on that, we go to the Buyers Barricades Hotline. There we go. Jean-Jacques Taylor, 103.3 ESPN, joins us now. Jean-Jacques, Mike, and Seth in Houston, good morning.
What up, fellas?
What's going on? Let me start with this. Do you think the Texans should consider bringing in Dez, or do you feel like he's too slow and washed up? What do you think?
No, maybe. Actually, he'd be a good fit for the Texans because you got DeAndre Hopkins over there who can be the man. You got Will Fuller who can stretch the defense. And you put Dez on there, what does it mean? It means he's taking the second cornerback instead of the first cornerback. He ain't getting double coverage. And you might be able to get a little something out of him.
But this is what – look, okay. There's two things here. One is the on the field stuff and perhaps his drop off in skills last year. But then the two is the other, which makes a lot of people rightfully nervous, I think, is how exactly does Dez Bryant look in a new situation away from Dallas, where it took how many years did it take for Dez Bryant to really get comfortable with the Dez rules and whatnot that they had there?
Well, I mean, I think it's the best way to say it is you said. And I don't know. It's hard to say, and here's why. This is the first time Dez has ever been told, we don't want you. I mean, not at Lufkin High School, not at whatever little peewee team he played for, certainly not at Oklahoma State. This is the first time he's been told, hey, Doc, we'll holler at you. We're better off without you. And so you really don't know how a dude's going to react to that. Thus far, his reaction has been to be this whole play the victim thing, like, oh, I don't know what happened. I have no idea. I've been the perfect player. Can't believe they got rid of me. Other people conspiring against me. It's like, yo, dog, shut up. So you don't know, once he gets settled, how he's going to handle all of that. And so, you know, Dez practices as hard as anybody can practice. He plays as hard as anybody can play. But he ain't going to show up on time. And, it's little stuff like that drives people crazy. And, I don't know how that works with Bill O'Brien, who's coming from the Patriots way and all of that. I do know this. And the reason why, I'm telling Dez, like, dude, you need to take a look in the mirror, man, have a little bit of self-awareness is, you have to ask yourself, you Dez bleeping Bryant, why you think there was only one dude who's going to ride or die for you in the organization? He scored 73 touchdowns, 531 catches, 7,000 yards receiving. One dude wants to ride or die with you. Jerry can't find a second. Come on, man. Some of that's got to be you.
Well, and I guess the question I would have is, how would you see him fitting in with a young quarterback's development like Deshaun Watson? Because he comes from one situation with Dak Prescott. What was his relationship like with Dak Prescott?
I mean, they were fine. He just put a lovey-dovey Instagram up on him about a week before he got cut. I think Dez really wants to win, and it's really, I'm telling you, it's the other stuff that drives people crazy. It's not the on the field performance or the practice habits. He's terrific at that. It's the, it's the stuff like you're supposed to show up for treatment because you say you have tendonitis, but you don't show up for treatment. Then if you don't play well, my knee hurts. Well, okay. You can't have it both ways, dog. You show up for treatment, then nobody says anything, but you don't show up, people give you the side eye. So it's those kinds of little things that just shows his petulance. I mean, he's matured since he was at Dallas, but, he may have gone from a 6-year-old to a 12-year-old. So, yeah.
Jean-Jacques Taylor is our guest, 103.3 ESPN Radio in Dallas via the Buyers Barricades Hotline. So on that note, with Dez, Jean-Jacques, and the maturity, can you tell our audience and give us an insight into the level of maintenance the Cowboys had in kind of guiding or dealing with Dez over the last 7 or 8 years?
Oh, well, there's no doubt that they've enabled him. And that's why it's hard to say how he's going to function somewhere else. Because here's the problem. You go Houston, you go San Francisco, you go wherever. You got no sweat equity there, man. You show up late and stuff. People are like, yo, dog, who are you? You ain't scoring no touchdowns for us. You weren't a number one pick here. You're not wearing our version of the 88 here. So, it's those kinds of things that he's got to come to grips with. They cut for him. They enabled him. They created kind of the monster that was off the field. Because, they never really made him adjust all the time. Even a couple of years ago, he missed some MRI he was supposed to have on his knee. He was kind of, incommunicado for like 48 hours, man. And they were like, oh, well, it's Dez being dead. No, come on, man. So they enabled him quite a bit. They created the monster that was Dez Bryant. And, you know, that's why it's hard to say how he's going to fit in elsewhere, because he's not going to have that same bubble wrap over him if he goes to another organization.
Why did it take this long instead of what would have been better timing for both the organization and Dez Bryant as if it had happened right at the beginning of free agency? Why now?
Well, I mean, I blame Dez Bryant. I don't blame the Cowboys. The Cowboys, you know, Bill Parcells taught me this, man. No organization makes a decision until they have to. Now, you can press them and encourage them and sometimes force them to make a decision, but no organization makes a decision until they have to. So, you know, the way I look at it, when the Cowboys swung hard at Sammy Watkins, that should have been Dez's clue, like, yo, 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 hey, my agent needs to call them and say, y'all either need to commit to me or let me go free. And then if they don't, then you go public. Like, I ask the Cowboys to do me right all the time I spend here. Either commit to me or let me go free. But instead, you know, tell you really what happened, man. He thought Jerry was going to be able to save. He thought Jerry was going to run in, offer him some little, pay cut, and he was going to take it, and it was all going to be good. He misread the tea leaves. And then his agent, I'm a little surprised by this. Tom Condon did the final deal. It's a bad deal for this reason and this reason only. Once your guaranteed money has run out, then in his particular contract, year four, there had to be some language in there. I'm surprised Tom Condon, as good as he is, didn't do this. Had to be some language in there, man. Like, okay, I'm supposed to make $12.5 million. I need $6 million on the first day of the league year or the fifth day of the league year. That way you commit to me or you let me go so I can go make my money in free agency. And since he didn't have that language, Cowboys sat on him.
All right, that makes sense to me. Jean-Jacques Taylor is our guest, 103.3 ESPN Radio in Dallas. I have one more question, and this is going to involve some audio. So this is Dak Prescott speaking about Dez Bryant from over the weekend after the release.
And I blame some of the captains for his release.
I mean, I'm sure he's hearing stuff, and I'm sure he's getting it from a lot of different ways. So, I mean, I'm not going to finger point at anybody. I'm not going to say I'm not going to get upset for who he's pointing at or who he thinks did this. So, I mean, as I said, it's a business, and it's part of it.
All right, so I know Seth kind of hit on this a few minutes ago, but I want to delve like a little bit deeper into that. Was the relationship between Dak and Dez kind of tenuous the last year, where it seems from the outside, like in Houston or anywhere else, that you know Dez is kind of a high maintenance guy on the field to deal with? You have to throw him his share of the football, that sort of thing. What was that dynamic between those two guys like?
Well, I mean, he's like any diva receiver. He's high maintenance, but Dak didn't have any problem working with him or telling him what he needed to do. That was part of the reason why he got the job. And why he earned the respect from his teammates, because there was a time in training camp where Dez did something. This was his rookie year. So it was one of those drills where you're practicing 2 minutes at the end of the half, and Dez caught a ball and didn't get down and didn't get out of bounds, and Dak ran like 30 yards downfield, jumped in his face, and was like, in this situation, you got to do X, Y, Z, whatever it was. And at that moment, everybody else was like, oh, okay, the rookie quarterback is not afraid to talk to Dez. So, you know, I think, again, man, this is Dez having a pity party. You know, this is Dez, instead of saying, you know, I haven't had a 1,000-yard season in 3 years, instead of saying I haven't had a 100-yard game in 22 games, instead of saying, you know, I've averaged 50 catches for 639 yards and 6 touchdowns the last 3 seasons, instead of saying, I don't know why I waited till year 9 to get a route running coach, instead of doing all of that and having some accountability, he's sitting up here trying to come up with excuses and reasons why he got cut.
Jean-Jacques, we appreciate your time this morning.
I can't keep track. I can't be Googling Jason Witten all the time. What's Jason Witten doing this year?
Same thing he does every year, catch the Y option for about 10 yards. About 5 touchdowns.
Is Jason Witten one of the Garrett guys that Dez Bryant was talking about?
He might be, but check this out, man. Dez Bryant was top 10 paid receiver for 3 years, and that's what he gave the Cowboys. None of those 1,000-yard seasons, and he was an average player. Some of it his fault, some of it not his fault. But what did I just tell you? Jason Witten is a consummate professional. So Jason Witten is the 17th highest paid tight end in the league. That's not a big bad number. I mean, I think his cap figure is like $5 million this year. That's not an absurd number. And he's a consummate professional. You can tell everybody, hey, go do what Jason Witten does. Look how he practices. Look how he goes to meetings. Look how he takes care of himself. And so, yeah, if you want to hang on an extra year and you're a franchise legend like that, probably a Hall of Famer, cool. Those options would have been available to Dez had he done what he was supposed to do.
Jean-Jacques, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. Y'all take care.
All right, Jean-Jacques Taylor from 103.3 ESPN in Dallas. You can follow him on Twitter at JJT_journalist. I wrote down a couple of things, mainly that Dez, according to Jean-Jacques, is aged in maturity from age 6 to age 12.
Yeah, that's not bad. 12-year-olds, well, there's some pretty mature 12-year-olds.
That's true.
There.
That is a pretty big gap between the 12-year-old and 6-year-old.
12-year-old boy or 12-year-old girl? Because as we know, 12-year-old girl is much more mature than 12-year-old boys.
This is true. They do mature quicker.
If he would lie, would Dez Bryant take that as a compliment?
No.
Probably not. But it's there.